Well, it's great to be with you again. How are we all feeling? I was a bit nervous when I saw this come up on the timetable that I would be speaking this evening. Hands up if you think that you've traveled the furthest today, that you got up the earliest today. Today. I can see a whole back row. Would you like to tell me what time you got up to get here today?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. Anyone else beat 4 o'clock? Did anyone get up earlier than 4 o'clock to get here today? Wow. But your hand's been up for everything.
I didn't sleep last night. All
right, okay. Where did you travel from? Where did you guys travel from?
York.
Travel from York. What's it like in York? You see, the problem with this slot is that everyone's tired. Who's tired? The whole back row's tired. And then I saw people jumping around and singing and dancing. I'm thinking, oh, this is a killer. They're all going to sleep during my preach. And I tell you what, I was leading the meeting this morning, and then Sean got up and preached. I'm like, Lord, please don't let it be that good. Please don't let it be that good. And it was really good. And I'm thinking, oh, this is a killer. So I got a lot of things flying against me here. So if I see you dozing off, there'll be trouble, because I don't like people dozing off in the meeting. And if I see you on Facebook, you're in big, big trouble. Unless you're taking a picture of me saying, hey, look at this cute guy. You know, and if you're female saying that. Okay. Okay.
Beggars can't be
choosers. Okay. Yeah, beggars can't be choosers. Thank you. Okay, guys. On a serious note, I am going to take you on a journey that is going to speak to some of you, and it's going to change your life forever. Okay. God is going to speak to you, and he is going to change your life forever. He really is. And if you're here today and you're not used to these sorts of messages and you don't normally go to church, don't worry. Don't worry about that, because actually this message is as much for those that go to church all the time as for you that never goes to church. So whether you say you're a Christian or whether you say you're not a Christian, it doesn't matter, because God is speaking. Okay. God is going to speak and change your life. So I'm going to take you on a journey where we are going to look for answers. And everyone is looking for answers everywhere. Everyone is searching all over the place. And you need to watch me for me to go like that, because my remote control is my finger. And this guy is the mechanism. People are looking in outer space for the answers. People are looking in the stars for the answers. How many people have looked at horoscopes? You know, those things, yeah, back row again, these guys, all these sleepy guys at the back. They do the horoscope. Look at her, what's the future hold? Who am I going to meet today? Young, tall, handsome man. And that was just my horoscope. You know, but the thing is, there are things, and they say this stuff, and people are looking everywhere for answers. And the thing is, it's all an illusion. Things are not what they seem. And so, with no answers in this world, we carry on looking. And we start looking all over the place for a hero, for a legend, for someone to celebrate, someone to say, whoa, David Beckham! Or, whoa, Liverpool. Whoa, Bayern Munich. But everyone's looking for a hero. Everyone's looking for someone that they can follow. Everyone's looking for something that will grab their attention. Something that will be worth following. Going to support, going to wave flags about, going to have scarves on, badges, spend their money on. Spend their time on everything. The whole world is looking for these people. Someone to be a champion. Someone who can rule, someone who's a king. Someone to follow. Like. No. I have to say, although we look alike, I really don't think that I'm worth following, and I really don't think that this guy's worth following. In fact, it's interesting. There's a lot of people going crazy about this band. The video I was going to show, which I could not download because it would be illegal, but mainly because my software wouldn't let me do it, had loads, I mean hundreds and hundreds of people following this band. And they were shouting, Harry! Harry! I love you, Harry! So maybe Harry Styles could be your leader, the person that you celebrate, the person you follow, the person that would be worthy of a poster on your wall. Or maybe just his left nostril. Maybe that's worthy of being followed. I mean, this guy is famous. A black hole. But the thing is, we are desperately looking for a king, someone to follow. And we keep looking, and it may be, maybe it's our iPhone. Do you know what? Every time I drive to the church office, I see people like this. And from behind, it looks like they've got no head. Like, do all these people walk around with no head? And they're on their iPhones. Maybe you are one of these iPhone freaks or iPod people that it's all about. What the latest gadget? I've got to have the latest what is it called? Four? What? IPP. Okay. Five. Someone say five. So we've gone from four to five, have we? These iPhone things. Shame. I'm still on three or something like that. But the thing is, maybe that's what you follow. Maybe that's what you give yourself to. Maybe that's what takes your time. Maybe that's what takes your treasures, your money. Maybe that's what consumes you. Maybe that's what life's all about for you. For some people, it is this dreaded thing called Facebook. The most popular book in the world is the Bible, closely followed by Facebook. I don't like Facebook. But maybe you give yourself to Facebook. Maybe that's what does it for you. You spend all your time, all your energy. It's become like a diary. Having a cheese sandwich. Like. You know? We have a young guy in our church. He says things like this. Bored. Inbox me. Like for a text. What? Anyway, maybe it's Facebook. But whatever it is, we're all looking for a king, a legend, a hero, someone to follow. We're looking for something or someone. And I spend money on gadgets now and again. But maybe you spend more money on gadgets. Apps. Time on Facebook. But what about this? What about football? Maybe that's, before you question why Manchester City's not up there, their icon wouldn't work. And so when I put it up there, it said, loser. So I'm afraid that we just got Manchester and Liverpool and Arsenal. But maybe it's football. But hey, hang on a minute. Maybe it's not a team. Maybe it's not someone to wear a shirt. Maybe it's a person. And here's a controversial picture. My daughter says to me, I'm going to lift my finger up, don't switch the slide. My daughter says to me, who's that naked person? You can't put that on there. And I said, well, actually, it's Leanne Benn. And some of us know Leanne Benn. And she's got into this bodybuilding thing. And she won a trophy for the middleweight bodybuilding for women. And I thought, well, I'm pretty safe if it's Leanne Benn, because that's someone that a lot of us know, actually. But then next to that is Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali. the greatest boxer in the world, apparently. And then there's King Leo. Who knows who King Leo is? Messi. See, yeah, Messi, yeah. Lionel Messi. They call him King over in Barcelona. And who's the guy on the left-hand side kissing that World Cup? Diego Maradona. See, all the older guys on this side of Diego Maradona. All these guys are like, not clue. Hand of God. I didn't even think of that. You could have written this. Hand of God. And then in the middle, we got this old guy that died in about 1977. He's called Elvis. And he was better known as the King. Because people want someone to follow. People need something to belong to. And then we have some rugby team down here that won the World Cup. Yes, I know, I know. Do you know who this is? Did anyone know who he was before he won that gold medal? Did you? I didn't have a clue who he was. I didn't even know he was British until he crossed the finishing line. Michael Schumacher, bless him, apparently is recovering still. Tiger Woods. People love to follow and support and be a part of a winning person, a winning team, a champion, a legend, a king. You know, there's still people that go around dressing up like Elvis Presley. He died before a lot of you were born. But they love this king. And it's all about the king. And there's been many kings in the sense of in this world and in this time. There's been many champions. But at the end of the day, they don't satisfy, and we still end up looking again. And so we go from Girls Aloud to One Direction to The Killers to Kings of Leon to all sorts of people. And then before you know it, we're on to this guy, Williams. What's his first name? You know, I'm happy and all that stuff. Yeah. I read something that said he sold over 1 million records since the turn of the year. He is the highest selling artist this year so far. And he's singing a song that has a couple of rhymes in it about being happy. Now everyone's got, they want his album. They want to go and see him. He's playing at Tea in the Park. He's headlining various things. People want to go and support that. And he's become an icon and a legend. The guy's actually 40 years old. He looks really young, like me, but he's 40 years old, not quite like me, but he's become a lot of people's new king. We are looking everywhere for answers. And at the beginning of time, there was a king. He wasn't labeled as a king. In fact, at no stage did he say he was king back at the beginning of time. But you see, the Bible is a book all about God. And it never sets out to prove God. It never sets out to say, right, this is how you prove that God exists. It just assumes that we believe in God. It just assumes that. In the beginning, God. And it just assumes that we're not stupid enough to look out and go, there can't be a God. It assumes that we would have just a little bit of intelligence to realize by looking around that there has to be a God. And so it makes no effort to prove God. And even with God, there were heroes. And there were people that went on to be king. And the human race has this deep desire to have heroes, legends, kings, someone in something who makes you feel invincible. And some 4,000 to 6,000 years ago, such a guy existed. His name was Joshua. And there'd been loads of talking about going into this promised land. And they'd been walking around in circles, putting up tents, taking down tents, wondering when they were going to go into this place called the promised land. And Joshua became a hero. He took this nation, these guys, these Israelites into a land that became their own. And he became a national hero. But the problem was that Joshua died, like all of these heroes do. And Joshua died. And a whole generation followed him that neither knew God and actually didn't even know what God had done. And so for a time, there seemed to be no visibility of God. The priests were doing what they did, just like they do sometimes today in the churches, do all their, they swing the smelly stuff and they wear the gowns and all the rest. They do all those things. But there was no real sense of God being there. And then, one day, this young boy called Samuel comes onto the scene and he starts to hear God's voice for real. Like this roaring lion in your face, he starts to hear God calling him. And Samuel grows up with the help of Eli. He grows up to be someone really important. In fact, becomes a mouthpiece for God to all these people. But eventually, Samuel grows old. And we're going to look, if you have a Bible or an app or whatever it is you have on your phone, other than Facebook or Twitter, if you want to have a look, we're going to look at 1 Samuel in chapter 8. And now this is at the end of Samuel's life. And he has sons, but his sons are a little bit all over the place. And even though he appointed his sons to take over as like the mouthpiece of Israel, to go and lead Israel, the people were having none of it. In fact, the people, very much like today, wanted a king, a legend, an icon, a new Joshua, a new David Beckham. A new One Direction. A new something. They wanted something. Or someone that they could hail and scream about and yell about. So in 1 Samuel 8, we're going to read most of that chapter. If you don't have a Bible, just listen to me wittering on. Because it will cover the things that you would have read if you had a Bible. So from verse 1. Of 1 Samuel 8 says this: when Samuel grew old, as I said, he was about to die, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. That's a funny name, isn't it? If you're called Abijah, you're on a losing wicket when you go to school. Abijah. And they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the old folk of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old." That's what my kids say to me. "Why are you coming to regenerate? You're old." So these guys say, "You are old and your sons do not follow your ways." I just say that back to them. "Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." A bit of peer pressure there. They want the same as what everyone else has. "But when they said, 'Give us a king to lead us,' this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to God, and God told him, 'Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king.'" This is God saying, "Rejected me as their king. As they had done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." So now God's saying, "Okay, you want another king? This is what he looks like. Tell him, Samuel, go and tell the guys, we'll give you a king, but this is what he's going to do. This is what he'll do to you. So watch out." Verse 10. "Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, 'This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of 1,000 and commanders of 50s, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards, your olive groves, and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own. He will take a tenth of your flock and you yourself will become his slaves. Phew. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king. But the Lord will not answer you on that day. Verse 19, but the people refused to listen to Samuel, said, no, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. Then Samuel said to the Israelites, everyone go back to your own town. Verse 4 says, appoint a king to lead us such as all the other nations. You see, because other people supported something or someone, they wanted it. They were caught up in this culture of no matter whether there was God or no God, they wanted Nike trainers. They wanted Adidas tracksuits. They wanted the latest football top. They wanted. Because everyone else has got it. We heard that this afternoon. Why do you want an iPad? I don't know. My mate's got one. I want one. See, they wanted what others wanted. Verse 7 said, and the Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. And the first thing I want to ask you, and I'm being serious, and I am speaking to people that have been going to church, as well as people that rarely go, if at all, who is your king? Who is king? Because I've just read out all these things that will happen to you if you have a different king. Okay, God says, if I'm not king, this will happen. Warn them, Samuel. A king, by definition, is someone that is in charge of a realm, in charge of a kingdom. A king without a kingdom isn't a king at all. You must have a kingdom to be called king. And Israel didn't have a king until that point. They'd never had a king. They just had heroes. People that raised their staff and waters parted. People that went up a mountain and spoke to God, who they could follow. And now Joshua, who'd taken them into the promised land, the land that would be theirs forever. You see, the whole story early on is about they want to possess something. They want to call something home. And now they want a king. And despite everything God has done for them, they want a person to be king. So who is it that you have? Who is it that leads you? Who is it that would take the shots for you? Who would jump in front of a bullet for you? Who is your hero? Now, if you're not a Christian here today, just put your fingers in your ears for a couple of seconds. I'm going to speak to these guys that say they're following Christ. I want to tell you, my friends, I would naturally say, if someone said to me, who's your king? I would naturally say, oh, well, that'll be Jesus. Okay? Now, I think many of you that are Christians or come to church regularly would say, oh, yeah, I understand all this religious lingo. Jesus is king. He's the king of my life. I want you to listen on a bit further. Stay with me. You might be tired. You might want to go home. And I guarantee when you go home, you won't sleep anyway. Because we have about 5 or 6 guys staying next door to us. And I know they will not sleep. So listen up. This is important. God will speak to you in the next few minutes. I would have said that Jesus was my king. Do you know what I've found over the last few months? Is actually in many areas of my life, Jesus was not king at all. Shock horror. Preacher says Jesus is not king. But I'm just being honest with you. I'm being very vulnerable with you and being open-handed. We say that Jesus is king, but is he? Is he? You have a king. But is he really king? See, verse 11 says, this is what the king who rules over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. You see, when you run in front of someone's chariots, that's not the king protecting you, that's you protecting the king. In other words, this king that isn't God, this other king, whoever it is, whatever it is, it will take you and put you in a situation where you're protecting him. He will not lead you out in battle. He will not go and win the victories for you. You will have to go out front. And you know what happens to the guys at the front when you come face to face with guns and weapons? Guess what happens to the guys on the front line? Boo! Boo! They die for their king. My friends, these other kings, these other things that are in your life, these other things, they require you to die for them. How opposite to a real king is that? He will make you. He will make you. And he will take you. Are the themes of this whole thing. He will make you. He will take you. You will die for him. He will not die for you. See these other kings? It says you will do his work for him. You will collect his fortune for him. You will make his weapons of war for him. It's never yours. It's always his. And you might be sat there saying, but I don't do that. I don't make anything for anyone else. I don't spend my time and energy on anything else. But the reality is, if it's not God as your king, then someone else is your king. And he takes everything that you have. How do you know whether this Jesus is your king? Well, Jesus gives everything he has to you. He goes before you and dies for you. You don't go before him and die for him. It's unbelievable. Nothing you have with this king is yours. Do you know, I have this cell phone, right? This cell phone's paid for. I think to myself, it's my cell phone. But it's not really my cell phone at all. Because unless I pay £12.99 a month for what, I don't get this thing's just it's rubbish. It's a piece of metal. And then you've got to have the sort of contract where you have to have a 500 free texts. I'm trying to work out how I manage to use 500 free texts. I don't have that many friends. That's why I'm not on Facebook. But then it costs you £30 a month. And I'm like, I own this phone. But I don't own this phone. Not really. It owns me. It takes money off me. You see, I live in a house up in Aberdeen. Okay, and I'm thinking, it's my house. I've lived in it for years. But it's not really my house because I pay a mortgage. And I still owe over £100,000 on this house. I say, I owe. It's not my house. But let's just say, like many people try to do, let's just say that I paid off that mortgage. Let's say I owed no money on that house. It was mine. Well, it's not really mine. Because unless I pay the gas bill, and I pay the electric bill, and I pay council tax, and all these other things, it's not mine. It gets repossessed if I don't pay those things. Is it really mine? What king am I serving? It takes my time. There's always something wrong with our house. I'm always painting something. It takes my treasures. I'm always spending money on that house. I've got a phone line. I've got a mobile phone, but I've got a phone line in the house. Shame, man. I'm paying for everything. It takes my time. It takes my treasures. And you know what? It takes my talents, because when I should be serving God and I should be giving it what for at the front of church or at the front of a meeting or going to those meetings to visit people in hospital, I'm actually at home painting a wall. It even takes my talent. It takes everything. Who's my king? Where do I put my time, treasures, talents? Who's my king? Who is my legend? Who is it? Is it really Jesus? And you may say, well, that's all very well, Rick. Yeah, but what should we do? Well, you know, in John 17, it says this. It says, basically, my paraphrase is, you're in the world, but not of the world. Okay, all these things that grab your attention, all these things that want your time, your treasures, your talent, your energy, your money, all these things are just fleeting. You are in the world, not of the world. And I thought, well, what does that mean? And God said this to me as I was praying. He said, you know, when you go on holiday to Tenerife or wherever it would be, imagine how ridiculous it would be if you turned up 2 weeks in Tenerife, okay? You get your little chalet next to the swimming pool, and you turn up with your ladders, and your paintbrushes, and your paint, and your new double glazing windows from Reg, and then you wander around, and you look, you say, right, I want to change the gate, the garden, and so my kids would say, Dad, we're only here for 2 weeks. So yeah, but I want to do this. I want to paint the wall, I want to make it look nice. Yeah, but we're only here for 2 weeks. We're not here for this. And you know, that's what we do in life. We pass through this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. I'm in Tenerife, but I'm not of Tenerife. I'm there for 2 weeks. And then I go back home. That's exactly what it's like for us. We are in the world, not of the world. Therefore, how ridiculous is it that we spend all our time and energy on our apps and our Facebook and all the things that consume us, like football teams and football clubs and football players and music. And have you seen the latest Britney Spears news? Oh my goodness, you should see what's that. Miley Cyrus, oh, have you seen her video? Oh, you got to see her video. 10 million hits on YouTube. My goodness me, who are we following? Who is our king? Who is our legend? Who is our leader? Is it really Jesus? Or is it someone else? You see, I said it takes ground. The king, another king that's not God, makes you work his ground and reap his harvest. He makes you go to work and make weapons for him and equipments for his chariots. He may make you a captain of 50 or 1,000 people, as it says there, but it's his army and it's his harvest. And everything is his. And you know what? Have you ever noticed in the world there's some pretty evil people with lots of money? Have you ever noticed that? I was listening to these Russians that own football clubs. Chelsea and I've got to be careful what I say on recording here. But some of these guys, 10 years before they got into that, were almost like mafia people in the oil industry in Russia. Killing people to buy oil fields, and then getting into politics to get the prices down so they could buy it really cheap, and then putting the prices up so they become millionaires. And I thought to myself, what is going on? But you know, this other king, he takes the best of what you got, it says in the scripture there, and he gives it to his attendants. He gives it to other people. And so you have all these evil people walking around with loads of wealth, lots of things that you should have in your life. What? How have they ended up with this? But that's the reality of there being another king. That's the reality of you being caught up in the world when actually you're not supposed to be of this world at all. you are just passing through. And your king has an inheritance for you, and it's yours. Your king, if he's Jesus, is taking you to a place that is far better than anything that O2 can offer, Nike, Adidas, One Direction, Facebook, Twitter, something far greater than any of that. And the great news is, he doesn't make hollow promises. You know that, buy now, pay later. He doesn't make that. Do you know what? He's paid. Paid then. Have it now. It's the total opposite. See, the kings and the people of this world, you do their work. You earn their fortune for them. But with this Jesus, he's already gone before you. He's already died for you. He's given himself for you. He's pursued you. He loves you. He yearns for you. He looks for you. He dies and has died for you. That's incredible. Yeah. It says later on in that scripture, he will make your family work. Amen. I've seen my family work. Work, work, work. And then they died. My mom and dad. They worked. And worked and worked. And they had a house they thought was theirs, not theirs now. They had a car they thought was theirs, they paid it off, not theirs now. They had a life that's not theirs now. Are you with me? You see how fleeting it is. You come through, we're all young. Well, I'm not, but we're all young. But all of us know someone who's died, don't we? It's tragic. It happens to people close to us and people far away from us. But we all know someone who's died. And unfortunately, the one thing certain in life is that you're going to die. Isn't that ridiculous? One thing certain in life is that you will die. So everyone is passing through. But you need to work out who your king is. He will take your best from you. He will take a tenth from you. Do you know what? And if you're a Christian, you'll know this. But if you're not, just let me remind you that actually in the Bible, when you give money, because out of love, not out of compulsion, the Bible often talks about a tenth. To demonstrate that God's for real. To demonstrate to the supernatural, but also to the people around you, that God's for real. And we give a tenth of what we earn. That proves our faith. It's a demonstration of faith that God really exists. And what it says here is he will take a tenth of everything he has. In other words, he will be your God. He will enforce himself and make himself your God. Your money will be spent on it. Your time will be spent on it. Your energy will be spent on it. He will take your life and you will be, and you may not like this, a slave to it. If it's football, I want to ask, is there a lot of people here who like football? Football? Yeah. I just want to say to you guys, I like football. But you know how you recognize whether it's become king of your life? It's if on a Saturday you think about 3 o'clock. And if you think about 10 to 5 when the results are coming in. If you think about, I must find out how Liverpool or Man United or Chelsea or Man City or whoever it is has got on. You've got to know. You've got to watch the big match, the semi-final. Chelsea have managed to get to the semi. We've got to watch it. Let's all get ready. And it's got to be, and it takes your time and your money. And before you know it, you're wearing the shirt that now costs 50 quid. £50 for a shirt. Gee, I must be out of fashion. £50 for a football shirt with someone else's name on the back. Not even my name. Seriously. That's how you know whether it's become king of your life. Same with music. I've seen it. I've done it. Unfortunately, I've been there. I've lived that life. See, he'll take everything. But tonight's your time. Tonight's your time to work out who really is king in your life. And I'm going to finish here and say to you, my friends, I've been there even this year where I've realized I've given myself to something other than God. That I have had things in my life that are king, that are icons, that are things I've run after. And God spoke to me with the same message. Spoke to me with these same passages. Rick, if it's taken your family and it takes the best that you have, it takes your time. It doesn't die for you. You have to die to it and die for it. You have to run for it. You have to fight. You know, when I was a youngster, I used to be part of a crowd that would fight at football matches. When you see the hooliganism from the 1980s, I was part of that. Before I was a Christian, I would get arrested. I've been in court. I've beaten up a policeman. He's beaten me up. I've been in back of police vans often. I've done some tragic things and terrible things. There's been broken bones involved. There's been all sorts of rubbish. You see, when you have something else as king, it takes everything you've got. It consumes you. And I want to say something like smoking. I used to smoke. You know, when I became a Christian, I carried on smoking for years. I hated it. Because no one else around me smoked. How did I know that it was king in my life? And that Jesus was fighting to be king in that situation? Because I'd find myself outside an office building, -2 degrees, snow hitting my face, and me going, oh, this is good, isn't it? How ridiculous is that? It had become my king. When I should have been in the meeting listening to the message, I was like, whoa, I'll have a quick fag. He's a bit boring, isn't he? Let's go out and have a cigarette. Come back in. Whoa, I feel good now. It's killing me. It says on the packet, it's killing me. And I still did it. It had become my king. And although I'd called Jesus my king, there was someone else I was serving in the background. When I got really Christianized, when I started going to church regularly, I used to hide it away. I was the guy that came in with extra strong mints, chewing gum. I used to smell. I mean, if David Beckham's for real, you know, this perfume, I was him. I was soaked in this stuff. You couldn't smell cigarettes. You could just smell Lynx and Beckham and all sorts of stuff. But you could not smell cigarettes. I hid it away. And some of us do that today. We have other kings and we hide them away. No one will know. Something strange about that Vince, you know. I don't know what it is, but something strange. I'm just joking. There's nothing strange about him. But and people would know there's something different going on, but they wouldn't know what. And the reality is it's called discernment, and it's because you have a different king in your life. So I just want to ask quite simply, who is your king? Who is your king? Whether you're new or whether you're old to this sort of thing, what are you giving your life to? You know what? You want to have a life that's a great life, yeah? But you want to live for something that's worth dying for. You see these people wear T-shirts. I support Liverpool. I'll die for it. Don't worry about it, Josh. I die for my team. In fact, up in Aberdeen, because they're very successful at football at the moment, there is a T-shirt going around that says, Aberdeen is my God, and Pittodrie, which is the football stadium, is my temple. Shame. Who's your God? Who's your king? Shall we pray? I think I took a bit longer than I intended, but I hope the message came across. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that your word, in that context of 1 Samuel 8, actually applies to us today. Lord, that we have many things crying out to be our King, many things crying out to be our God, many things that want to take our attention. And Lord, I know you've spoken to us. And I know that right now there are people in this room saying, whoa, I really thought you were King Jesus. I really thought that in spite of everything, that you were King. Not children, not my boyfriend or my girlfriend. I thought it was you, Jesus. But actually everything I long for seems to be someone else. And I need you as King. I want you as King. You're the only one that's died for me. And just as we finish this now, just as we have our heads bowed, and just as we feel really tired and could do without standing up, I'm going to ask you if today, tonight, if God has spoken to you and you want to put Jesus, King of your life, because he is the one that pursued you, he's the one that loves you, he's the one that died for you, he's the one that is saying, hey, what about me? Hey, my friend, I've died for you, I've laid it all down for you, I've given up heaven, come down and lived amongst you, been put on a cross to take those bad things from you. And if that is you and you want to put him as King, anew and afresh, maybe even for the first time you're thinking, gee, I don't want to live a life where I'm serving someone else and I'm building someone else's dreams and building someone else's kingdom. I want an inheritance. I want something that belongs to me. I want a King that has done it for me, not me doing it for someone else. Maybe that's you today. And I'd ask you the same, whoever you are, wherever you are, if you want to put him as King right now, just while we're in this place where heads are bowed, I want you to stand to your feet, because God sees your heart. If that's you today, don't let this moment pass by. This Jesus is a King that you can rely on, a King that you can lean into, a King that will give you an inheritance, a life that is abundant now and in the life to come. He gives you a future, a hope. He gives you a person to follow who never lets you down. His name is Jesus. He's known in the Bible as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Redeemer, the Defender, the Prince of Peace, the guy that went to the cross for you and laid it down for you. He says to you, I'll be your King. I'll be your King. And all these things, time, talent, treasures, you will give them to me, but you'll do it because you love me. Because you know that I've died for you. Because you know that I first loved you. Because you know that I'm for real. Because I have roared like the lion in your face. And I've spoken to you tonight. And said, I'll be your King. Just a few more seconds before we all stand and sing together.